The Justin Robert Young Podcast is brought to you by The Contender, the game of presidential debate. Head on over to thecontender.us, pick up the game, buy it, pre-order the 2016 expansion, and then if you are in Austin, Texas, this Wednesday, you can come out and play the game with me. I'll be in Austin playing the game. Hideout Coffee, 6 p.m. on Wednesday. That is Wednesday, March 9th. March 9th. Wednesday, March 9th. I'll be playing the Contender in Austin. It'll be a fun time. And by listeners like you, head on over to patreon.com/JURY, where the Justin Robert Young Talks Into a Mike Industrial Complex continues to roll on, thanks to viewers like you. Man, we're doing a whole bunch of stuff there. It is super fun. You can check it out. It is patreon.com/JURY. We're at 408 on the road to 420. Blaze it. Speaking of blazing it, let's go ahead and begin the program.
Ugly ain't the half, look at you. Well, you got blue teeth and you only got two teeth, but I kinda like to see you smile. And it appears that over the years you've turned into a big old steaming pile. And she said, yeah, I know I ain't no supermodel. I said, you ain't a hand model, baby, but that's fine. By most people's standards, but you're all right by mine.
Oh, man. You know, listen, there's all kinds of boot scooting. There's all kinds of rock and roll. There's all kinds of music to be made and to be heard. However, when the strains of the Possum Posse's All Right By Mine ring out into the internet, you know that it's time. It's time. It's jury time. You know, I just do my best. I do my best to bring it to you guys. Also, to be brought to you guys, will be the Possum Posse themselves. They are going to play a show with me and Brian Brushwood on Saturday. You heard at the beginning, we're doing a Contender meetup in Austin, Texas. That's on Wednesday. Saturday, Brew Exchange from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. That is the Saturday of South by Southwest Interactive, if that is why you are there, which is why I'm there. I mean, I'm not literally there for the conference. I've never bought a pass for the conference. That seems like a total waste of time and money. Instead, I just go to everybody's party, and we have parties ourselves. It's a fun little trade. I feel like it's the most economic way for us to all get together, and so that's what we're going to do. The Possum Posse and Brian and I, man, we're going to have a hell of a show. We want you guys to come out there. I'm sure they're going to play that song, and when they do, I want all the jury listeners to just jump up and say, hooray! I don't know whether or not that will be a thing. I don't know if that'll catch on. Hell of a show here for you guys tonight. Where do we start? Where do we even begin? Great letters, as always, an awesome community, especially on an episode like last week where it was a little personal, a little me kind of getting stuff out there for y'all to enjoy. Great to see the response to it. But I want to talk about something, and I don't quite know where we're going to go with it. I don't quite know even the best way to bring it up. Because what I want to talk about is, at its core, at its essence, stripped down of all the other finery, is civility. Or maybe it's empathy. Yeah, maybe empathy. Empathy is the way to go. Now, empathy is a really, really big thing out here where I live in the Bay Area. Here's why. Because you have a very booming industry of technology and technology startups. You've got a lot of people that are a part of it. And existentially, this city has a bit of a crisis where it believes that it is impersonal. Oh, we're cutting ourselves off. We're buried in our phones. If we would only remove ourselves from the transfixing slate of confusion for which we carry within our pockets and instead look up past the horizon line of our own bubble and see the wide world and everything it has to offer. Yes, then we will be better people. And so you have a thing that's sweeping the Bay Area called mindfulness. Mindfulness. Now, this ain't going to be no big me ripping on mindfulness kind of thing for anybody who's aware of it, but let me give it my best college try to explain exactly what mindfulness is. Mindfulness is understanding and empathizing with what somebody else has going on in their life, their hopes, their fears, their motivations. It is the belief of some that we are losing this element of ourselves to technology. We are losing this to more traditional pathways to self-centeredness like drugs and alcohol. We are losing this to a focus on our work. And so, you have all these events, mindfulness events, events that are meant for you to let go of all these things, these distractions, and instead focus on the most complex and beautiful creation, other humans. Now, there are elements of this, I'm sure, that you can detect from the tone in my voice, for which I find more valid than others. I think it is extraordinarily important that we pay attention to each other's ideas and we find out where we believe other people are coming from. I think that that's insanely important. That's really important. That's huge. Makes us better people. I don't quite know if it has to come at the expense of everything else, but that's how these people like to handle it, and, you know, vaya con Dios. But something hit me today when I was reading about Louis C.K., comedian Louis C.K. He decided to do something really remarkable a couple weeks ago, and without really having any fanfare, he said, oh, by the way, I filmed a sitcom, and so you can buy it from me, but I'm going to release it. Here it is on my mailing list. Here's my sitcom. It's called Horace and Pete. Now, I haven't seen any of it, and this really isn't about that, but it was in an email about Horace and Pete that he decided to let his views be known on Donald Trump. Now, stop me if you heard this one, but New York City resident and stand-up comedian Louis C.K. is not a fan of Donald Trump, nor his run for the presidency. Shocker. More at 11. And here's another one. Wait a minute. Hold on. Louis C.K. has a lyrical, amazing, hilarious dismemberment of Donald Trump on this newsletter. It's very funny. He calls Donald Trump all sorts of names, and because Louis C.K. is a very talented creative writer, and Donald Trump is such a ripe figure for parody, things are funny. It's very funny. It's very good. None of that is interesting to me at all. Or at least remarkable. Newsworthy. Doesn't shock me that Louis C.K. hates Donald Trump. Probably hated Donald Trump when he ran The Apprentice. Doesn't shock me that he would find Donald Trump's politics to be objectionable. Doesn't really shock me in the least. Which is why I'm doing a semi-political topic on this show and not politics, politics, politics. Which you can also support by giving money to patreon.com/JURY. Here is what fascinated me. This is from his letter. When I was growing up, when I was a younger man, liberals and conservatives were friends with differences. They weren't enemies. And it always made sense that everyone gets a president they like for a while and then hates the president for a while. This is right after he says that he kind of wants there to be a conservative president in this next election. Because he feels like liberals have gotten Barack Obama for 8 years and it's just time for a change. It's time for the other half of the country to have somebody that is doing things that they like. Because in Louis C.K.'s mind, he finds that to be a healthy way that the country can be run. Now that's a little less cookie cutter, right? You know, ain't exactly newsworthy. But here's what I did find newsworthy. And this is me becoming my own parody. I was shocked that the only coverage on this little letter was that Louis C.K. ripped into Donald Trump. Now, I guess that's the better headline. People want to read what he said because he's a really funny guy. He's a really popular guy. And anywhere you can put Louis C.K. and Donald Trump in the same headline, you know, it's a good thing. You want to have that. That's a good part of coverage because people, you know, one of these, not everyone's going to love both of those things. Very few people are, but one of those people are going to love one of those things enough to click your link. But here's what I would like to have seen. Louis C.K. makes a very, very interesting point about civility in politics. Now, I'm not going to pretend that there was some bygone era wherein everybody got along and, you know, someone said their political opinion and then, you know, the person who disagreed with it stroked their chin genteelly and then said, well, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it. My name is Hans Voltaire from Terre Haute, Iowa. Or Idaho, I forget. I'm just a regular guy who loves political discussions and I don't care what side you're on. Oh, you, I disagree, but I don't know. Maybe you have a point. I'll have to think on it back at my home in Terre Haute, Idaho or Iowa. Again, can't remember. I'm very confused. I've been at this Hess gas station for over 2 weeks. I don't know how I got here. You know, it's just me, Gus Voltaire. Don't think that was my first name a few seconds ago when I started this impression. And yet now, here I am, talking to you. So again, I don't think that everybody is just there is gonna or there was an era where everybody was super cool with everybody's political opinion. Obviously, it's a controversial subject. It always has been. Apparently, Terre Haute's in Indiana, not Iowa or Idaho. Well, then that Voltaire guy sure is confused. Here's what I want to point out. You have more in common with most of the people that you're going to get into a fight about politics on Facebook with than you do the person that you are fighting about. The thing that bothers me the most about politics, and again, this is social, right? This is general. This is not about now. This is not about what's happening. This is about since the dawn of time. Politicians make themselves these empty buckets and then allow you, the best of them, allow you to fill your hopes and dreams inside the bucket. But, like, they're not an empty bucket. They're a person. They're a person with a job. They're a person with goals. And even the most stirring, inspirational ones all still ultimately have to make calculated political decisions. Political decisions that might make you a little sick to your stomach if you heard them laid out bare. Meanwhile, let's focus on your friend or family member for whom you're going to get into a fight on Facebook about. I mean, you know them. They're actual people to you. You probably know their hopes and dreams. You probably know their deepest, darkest secret. Hell, you probably, when you really lay it out, have, you know, it's like, who do we fight with the most? The people we have the most in common with that differentiate just a little. And they go 95% and then don't go the final five. That's who we don't like. That's who we get into fights with. Here's all I'm asking. Can we think, and I'm not talking about everybody else, normies. Normies are going to fight, right? I'm only talking to you, the listeners to this show, because you're smart people. You're smart and caring. You want to listen to me talk about my personal stuff. You want to hear the pain and agony and celebration of others because for whatever reason that appeals to you. So here's all I'm asking. In this season of political sniping and firefights, just understand that every friendship, every familial strain that comes out of politics is wasted. And I challenge you to make friends with somebody that doesn't agree with you this season. Find the humanity in somebody that doesn't have any shared political interest. And I will guarantee you that this will make you a better person. I will guarantee you that this is something that you will come out of saying, I'm glad I did it. Now, you ain't going to talk about politics all the time. In fact, I would recommend it happen as rarely as possible. But if you can just kind of eat around that a little bit, I guarantee you your worldview is going to be better. Now, we all spend time in bubbles on the internet, and that's kind of the point. But the time that you spend out of it, especially now, will benefit you greatly going through life. Much more coming up right after this. Couple things to plug. First and foremost, thank you to everybody who has rated, reviewed, and subscribed to this show. It helps us greatly, and it is something that I very much appreciate periodically reading through the reviews, seeing where we rank up on iTunes and all the like. So thank you to everybody who did that. Also, A little unsolicited shout out to mention Brian and I are doing a show with the Possum Posse. That is going to be a live Night Attack show. If you are a Patreon here, a patron here, and for whatever reason are not a patron on Night Attack, well, consider kind of getting on that train, because for at least the summer, we've been recording these live tracks and not really doing anything with them, so we got a huge backlog. We're just making up mixtapes. So, you know, if you become a patron, you can go back and look at the mixtapes that we've posted in the past, and you'll get a new one, and I think we're going to push a new one out tomorrow afternoon. So, get all up in it, because it is going to be super fun. I've been editing them together, and they are funny. I really enjoy them. Speaking of funny... Real quick in the chat, Hot Beverages, one of our faves here on the program, Hot Beverages writes, this guy at work is super conservative, opposite of me in a lot of things, but he's a cool guy, even though he has a Ronald Reagan calendar. Who gets a presidential calendar? Let me just say this. I don't like presidents. I don't know if I ever really have liked. Now, I can respect presidents. I can say, hey, man, that's a really hard job. If I met a president, I'd be very happy that I did, and I would shake his hand or her hand. Sorry, Freudian slip. But it doesn't mean you have to like him, right? And it really weirds me out when people love him. Like, get a calendar, love him. Ugh. Like, it feels like just falling in love with the mop, you know? Like, it's like a mop's necessary. You gotta have one. It's a really important thing, but it's probably dirtier than you think. Not to mention the fact that you loving the mop says far more about you than it says about the mop. Mop ain't done nothing. He didn't want this kind of unwanted attention. I don't know. It just weirds me out. Now, you can love the concept of the presidency. I mean, that's the kind of thing that would make your purchase of The Contender a no-brainer. Check it out, thecontender.us. Some viral marketing. Let's have fun. I don't know why I wanted to do this. I had this song stuck in my head. This is probably going to be terrible. But I want to periodically do this, and maybe you guys can help out by suggesting things. But I wanted to do a mom rock lyric breakdown. I just have periodically, I'll be in the shower, I'll be thinking stuff or whatever, and then I'll just have a song pop in my head, and it could be from years and years and years and years and years ago. There's a song that was on the radio that my mom liked jamming to. And I'll listen to them, and I'll be befuddled by them. Because, like, you know, all you kids now, you don't understand. Back in the 90s, like, all you had to do was give blow to some radio DJ, and all of a sudden you'd be on the radio all the time. There was no democratization of music. It's not like the person that we're going to talk about, not like Rod Stewart had to work his Twitter and Snapchat so people would follow his SoundCloud, you know? He didn't get fans by the dozens. He got fans by the hundreds of thousands, because that's just how the large-scale music industry worked back then. So you had songs like this. Rod Stewart was big in the 70s, and then his fame continued into the 90s as he moved kind of into a more easy listening, adult contemporary kind of thing. So, this song's called Broken Arrow. When did Broken Arrow come out? Let's find out. Let's see if it says here. Let's go to this. And by the way, of course, you can see everything that we're looking at here on the YouTube channel. I don't know when this came out. Whatever. Somebody can tell me in the chat room. let's go ahead and start things off. I mean, if you, I don't want this to get pop for content ID, but here's just a little bit of Broken Arrow. Nothing says moving song with Native American overtones and imagery than a Scotsman crowing as if a dead cat had been reanimated by magic. That is my opinion of Rod Stewart's Broken Arrow. And if that isn't enough, let's go ahead and get into some of the lyrics here. Broken Arrow. Who else is going to bring you a Broken Arrow? Who else is going to bring you a bottle of rain? There he goes, moving across the water. There he goes, turning my whole world around. So here's my first question with this. Is this a song that was written for a woman? Or was it written for a Christian contemporary? Because pretty much the only time that you have strong male lead vocalists. Now, listen, we can all hope for a better day when a more inclusive society can feature a gay lead vocalist who is just singing about, boringly about his gay lover, who apparently is into broken arrows and rain bottles. But this reads like a religious thing, right? There he goes, moving across the water. Like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? He's Jesus. There he goes, moving across the water. So people are saying, wasn't there a Broken Arrow movie with Travolta? Yes, Broken Arrow meant a loose nuclear weapon. I'm going to go ahead and assume that that's not what this song's about. I don't think that there he goes moving across the water is either John Travolta or Christian Slater, the stars of Broken Arrow. Do what I feel. Can we make it so that's part of the deal? I gotta hold you in these arms of steel. Lay your heart on the line this time. All right, this was apparently original. This is a cover by Robier Robertson, Jamie Royal Robbie Robertson, back in Broken Arrow. Uh, 1959? Song became a crowd favorite. So apparently it was also covered by the Grateful Dead. And it was most famously covered by Rod Stewart on his album Vagabond Heart. It was released as a single with an accompanying music video. Oh, my God. We got to see that. Anyway. All right. Let's go back. All right. Some confusion. This, again, pronoun confusion. Are we still talking about the key that's moving across the water? Or are we and is turning the whole world around? Or are we now talking about you, the listener? Is that I got to hold you in these arms of steel? Lay your heart on the line this time. This feels a little bit more clear. All right, so here we go. Let me move on. I want to breathe when you breathe, when you whisper like that hot summer breeze. Count the beads of sweat that cover me. Didn't you show me a sign this time? Oh, geez. Now we get into some of that classic pre-antiquity. Is this a song? How many times has this ever happened to you? You're reading the lyrics to one of your favorite classic rock songs when you ask this question. Is this about rape? A lot of songs in the 70s are about, like, underage sex and, the sweet smile of a little girl. Like, a lot of shit that just would not cut the mustard these days. Didn't you show me a sign this time? Not promising. That's a troubling lyric in the modern day and age. We continue. Who else is going to bring you a broken arrow? Who else is going to bring you a bottle of rain? There he goes, moving across the water. There he goes, turning my whole world around again. So again, is it just me or it's a religious thing, right? Do you feel what I feel? Do you feel what I feel? Ah, can you see what I see? Can you cut behind the mystery? I will meet you by the witness tree. Leave the whole world behind. You know, I don't want to be the guy who's just like, all right, are we just inventing things? Like the witness tree? What's the witness tree? There's not like, you don't go into a town and be like, oh, I've never been to Terre Haute before. I don't know, just meet me by the witness tree. We'll figure it out from there. I mean, obviously this is loaded with symbolism and stuff like that from other elements, but I don't know. Meet me by the witness tree. Witness tree vineyard. So apparently there's a witness tree vineyards here. I want to come when you call. I'll get to you if I have to crawl. They can't hold me with these iron walls. We've got mountains to climb. Wait a minute. Is this dude in jail? Is this a jail ballad? They can't hold me in these iron walls? Or are they metaphorical iron walls? Like the metaphorical witness tree. And then we go back to the chorus. Who else is going to bring you a broken arrow? Let's understand. Okay, so what is a broken arrow and what is a bottle of rain? Also, TVZ God points out that maybe these iron walls are a Faraday cage since he's super paranoid about the Illuminati controlling his mind. Which would explain. All right, so let's take it like that. Let's say it's a paranoid Illuminati ballad. Who else is going to bring you a broken arrow? I.e., in the John Travolta Christian Slater sense, a loose nuclear weapon for which you can rain holy hell down on the globalists that seek to control not only our bodies but also our minds. Who else is going to bring you a bottle of rain? The tears of a populace that one time knew freedom and then, through media manipulation, has been led into servitude. There he goes, moving across the water. Finally, our heroes revealing themselves to be the turncoats that we knew them to be deep down, crossing the Rubicon from here, a sane land of freedom-loving patriots, to there, a place of authoritarianism, wherein they know better than us. There he goes, turning my whole world around, and how could it not? How could you not be shaken to your very core when you realize that at the Bilderberg Conference right now, there are global elites making the decisions that should be entrusted to you in a freedom-loving society, turning my whole world around, turning my whole world around, turning my whole world around. 1776 will commence again. We'll be right back with your emails. You can send your emails in, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Make sure you put jury in the subject line. That way I can tell them apart. Jessica writes in, you, sir, have had an interesting career filled with multiple tracks. You clearly chase what you want, but how did you figure out what it was? I'm a 24-year-old and currently living and working in the other Portland. I studied video production in college and ended up getting a job as a newscast director after I graduated. Now, 2 years later, I realize that this job blows. I come to work and do the same thing every single day and haven't learned anything new in the last year and a half. I finally realized that I want to move back home to Massachusetts and have started to look for jobs, but I want nothing to do with the news anymore. Maybe not even video production. I've struggled greatly finding jobs to apply for, and I need to find a new roommate and in a cheaper place in the next few months. In the middle of all this, I was talking to my mom, and she actually told me that I could quit and move back home, and I would have never expected that out of her. I guess I'm just feeling at a loss right now, and I'm unsure of exactly how to pull myself out of it. Any words of encouragement or judgment would be appreciated. All right, Jessica. Well, let's go ahead and break this down into a few different things. And I wrote Jessica back personally with a little bit of this, but I'll repeat what I said to her. Jessica, and everybody else is going through something like that. Number one, if you look at me and say, Justin, you seem to have it figured out. Hey, Justin, you seem to have something in your mind that you've locked in on, and therefore your life seems clearer. Understand this. There's not a day I don't wake up and panic about where I'm going and what I've done and whether or not it has brought me closer to what I want to do. If you were to ask me what I want to do, as many people do, good-hearted people who care about my future, where is this leading? What do you want to do with it? I very often hit them back with a no idea, dude. So, this is what I told Jessica. I might not know exactly what I want to do, but I know basically what I want to do. I know that I want to do things that make me happy. I know that I want to do things that make me creatively fulfilled. I know that I want to communicate for a living. And I know that I like connecting with people. I know that I believe myself to be a dynamic broadcast presence. And I would like to parlay that in to money and freedom. So every decision that I've made, I try to just think, okay, does this bring me at least 10% closer to that? Now, if I were a more ambitious person, I'd probably be swinging for the fences on every single one. But I'm going to try to slow play this whole life thing. And so I'm just inch by inch kind of putting myself in a better position. Because it is my belief that it's not about one big adrenaline-fueled decision. It's about a million different smart decisions that just get you closer and closer and closer to your dreams. Closer you get to them, the more you know people that can facilitate you getting places that you wouldn't have otherwise dreamed. So just think, how can I get 10% closer with every decision you make? What you're eating, who you're dating, where you're living, how you comport yourself at work, all of it. Just think, is this getting me 10% closer? But that's generic horse apples. Let me hit you guys with the real truth. There are two things in life that I can speak to with personal experience, wherein if you start them, you need to have a plan to finish them from the day you start. And if you don't, you are only leading yourself into a hall of haunted mirrors inside your own brain that will damage your self-confidence, perhaps irreparably. And this is what they are. Long-distance relationships and moving back in with your parents. Two things. If you start them, the day you start them, have a date in mind, circle one on the calendar, when you will stop doing it. Now, life is not neat and tidy, as I am well aware. And many times, the best way to make God laugh is to announce your plans out loud. But that is not what this is about. You need for your own sanity to give yourself a lifeline. Because let's talk about Jessica's position. She's 24 years old, a baby. But she's looking at moving back in with her parents. Now, I understand in some cultures, this is delightful and accepted. In fact, my stepfather remarried to a lovely, adorable, amazing Peruvian woman for whom the Latin culture is very permissive of kids living in the house with their parents. It just happens a lot. So So when I moved out of my mom's place, she was like, why? You're an idiot. You can save money. You can have more money. Uh-uh. Couldn't handle it. No, 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 no. Independence, in my opinion, is a lifestyle. The decisions that you will make when you are paying your own way through life will be better, clearer, more successful decisions than if you aren't. Now, that's not to say that moving in with your parents is a bad thing. Like I mentioned, I did it. When I moved back down to Florida from New York, I was still paying for my apartment for like 3 months. So I lived with my parents for 3 months. Like, it wasn't the worst thing in the world, and gave me flexibility in a time where I was kind of stuck. It's really, really good, right? I'm just saying it can get in your head. And if the point of all this is clearing up indecision, it will help you immensely to be out on your own. All right. Daryl writes, my name is Daryl. D really in the random times I'm in chat. I just listened to your I Was Never a Cute Girl episode. The segment about depression was moving. I frequently struggle with the feelings that you brought up. The description about those feelings of demons in the shadows were very real to me. I do worry about those moments with friends. It is helpful to hear that others have similar feelings. It is reassuring to hear about those overcoming those feelings. Thanks, man. Keep up the good work. Well, thank you very much, Daryl. I do appreciate it. You know, sometimes I feel really, really weird about reading positive things, about the show during the show, right? Because it just feels a little circle jerky. But I wanted to read that just so I got a lot of feedback on that specific element of last week's show. You're not alone. No one's alone. Here's the best and worst thing about humanity. We are all remakes of a movie that was made thousands of years ago. You know, there's an element where we say, oh, like superhero fatigue for movies. People are just kind of done seeing superheroes because they've kind of seen the same origin story over and over again. Guess what? We are all a boring origin story reboot. Nothing that has happened in our heads hasn't happened a billion times before, and it's happening currently in the heads of millions and millions of the Rocks fans. So please understand that nothing is solitary. We are all repeats on Nick at Night. Yeah, TVC God screams Simpsons did it. Perfect. Spork and Pork. I've been enjoying you reading story about creepy restaurant managers, which is a redundant phrase, but talking with a coworker recently reminded me of a scandal involving a local restaurant owner that rocked my hometown a few years back. A coworker got on the topic of bad restaurants, and he told me about his experience as a customer at Thai Thai by Ricky. The restaurant owner, Ricky, would make lewd comments to him and his young male friends, including rubbing their shoulders. So, of course, it came as no surprise when Ricky was arrested on selling cocaine, sexual assault, and possessing illegal porn. He's now serving 20 years in prison as opposed to Thai Thai. And finally, Rue writes, don't feel bad for being a poop fainter. I, too, have suffered this fate. Back in college, I had the day to myself in a shared apartment. Being alone, I decided to spend my time engaging in a guilty pleasure, watching the entire first season of the Pokemon anime. I put an episode on and went to the bathroom as the opening theme played. I walked into a small closet-like bathroom enclosure, again, college apartment, and took a leak. Next thing I knew, my face was hugging the wall, my pants were around my legs, and I felt surprisingly well-rested. I came to and realized that the opening theme for my show couldn't be heard in the background. I cleaned myself and went back to the bedroom, finding the episode had finished, no autoplay. Then I noticed it was night. I had no idea how long I was out, but terrified, I Googled around and learned about the vagus nerve and piss fainting. Glad my roommate didn't find me in that situation. That would have been awkward. Man, that is way more intense than my poop fainting situation. I really do appreciate. Thank you so much, Rue, for writing in. Well, folks, if you find yourself hugging the wall after taking a pee, if you find yourself ruining friendships because of politics on Facebook, if you find yourself bringing broken arrows and or bottles of rain through iron walls, well then, ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that my name is Justin Robert Young, and in your darkest hour, I want you to hear my voice as I reach out from this podcast into your life and remind you to please don't die.
Do you like the way you're dressed up? Do you like how your hair gets cut? Do you like when your friends fuck up? Don't you think you have had enough?
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.